I thought it appropriate this evening to begin with a story. Now that I'm 70 years old, it's very difficult for me to go back to 1967 and remember a lot of details, but I think I've got a good enough picture. I think it's accurate enough in order to present it to you this evening. So in the middle of my high school education, I was invited to go deer hunting with one of my friends at school. My friend's family, they owned a cabin near Payson, and they were successful deer hunters. My parents allowed me to go, so after football practice, one late October afternoon, we made the trip up north. I was very excited. In fact, so excited that I had difficulty sleeping that night because of my anticipation of what the morning hunt would bring. I'd been deer hunting before, but never was successful. I was very sure that this deer hunt would be different, and it turned out to be different. My first day on the hunt was great, but I did not have the skill to be successful. I was not too upset because I had another day before I had to return to Phoenix to go to school. The second night, I had no trouble sleeping at all. The lights went out, and I was out sleeping like a baby. However, I was awakened with the sound of horns, automobile horns, and people outside of the cabin yelling, "Fire! Fire!" We quickly went outside to learn that the forest was on fire and moving our way. We were told that our help was needed to contain the fire until the Forestry Service firefighters could get there. We quickly loaded the old Toyota Land Cruiser with axes and shovels. We packed in and quickly drove toward the flames. However, we did not get very far before the driver hit a large boulder on the side of the road. The vehicle rolled on its side with the driver's hand pinned under the door. He had his hand and arm outside of the vehicle as he was driving with one hand. So the vehicle rolled on its side, and we were able to get out of the passenger window. The passenger side door appeared to be jammed, but we were able to crawl out of the window, which we were able to open. And I thought, what in the world are we going to do? We have a man trapped in considerable pain, and we have a fire moving toward us. Another vehicle quickly arrived at our location and helped us jack up the Land Cruiser to remove the driver. After the driver's hand and wrist was put on a primitive splint, we went to the fire and worked on making a fire barrier. More help arrived, and by mid-morning, the fire was contained. That afternoon, while traveling back to Phoenix, this was possibly the first time in my life that I really saw the uncertainty of life. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. My full expectation was that this morning I would be deer hunting, hopefully successful, not in a rolled Toyota, and then fighting a forest fire. But more deer hunting was not what that day brought. One of the better known proverbs is Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring. This is very similar to James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, which reads, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. This evening, we will consider the matter of living without knowing what a day will bring. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, we ask as we consider this important truth of your word that you would open our hearts, that you would enable us to focus our thoughts on your truth, that we would believe your truth, and that we would be able to apply it to our lives. We're very thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit, and we ask, come, Holy Spirit, and help us this evening to honor you in considering this important truth of the Bible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I will organize my comments on Proverbs 27:1 around 3 points. 3 points. One, there are some things we know for sure about tomorrow. There are some things we know for sure about tomorrow. Number two, there are some things that God keeps secret about tomorrow. Now, why is that? There are some things that God keeps secret about tomorrow. Why is that? And number three, how then are we to live, not knowing everything a day will bring? How are we to live, not knowing everything that a day will bring? So the first point, there are some things we know for sure about tomorrow. The Bible teaches us many things about tomorrow that we may know for sure. Absolutely. No question about it. I think the most important thing is that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. No one will ever wake up tomorrow and discover that God has changed. The nature of God remains the same as the Shorter Catechism puts it. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. God is unchangeable. He is unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Furthermore, God's relationship to his creation also remains the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God sustains and directs everything that happens. The living and true God has been, is, and will always be the sustainer, the ruler, and the judge of all the earth. All the promises we read about in the Bible, God will keep. And some of them apply to the future. There will never come a day when anyone wakes up in the morning and learns that God changes his mind and decides not to keep his promises. Therefore, we know that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Genesis 8:22. From this promise, we know about the uniformity of nature. We know that tomorrow will be like today in many important respects. For example, God has said, while the earth remains, there will be day and night. How do we know that the sun will rise tomorrow? Because God has said that while the earth remains, there will be the sun to produce light and the setting of the sun to produce darkness. Please, please, do not think that this is a small, insignificant matter. It is a very important point. For those who mistakenly believe that the only real things are space, time, and matter in motion, how do they explain the regular day-night cycle? How do they explain that unsuspended objects, heavier than air, fall to the ground day after day? How do they explain water boiling at sea level at 212 degrees Fahrenheit all over the world day after day? How do they explain the opposite poles of magnets attracting each other day after day? Without these things, these regularities in the natural world, life as we know it would be impossible. Christians explain these things by the promises of God, which we know for certain. God will surely keep his promises dealing with tomorrow until the very end of the world. The Bible reveals to us the true nature of man. Man has been created by God. Man is God's creature. God brings man into existence, sustaining him from one moment to the next. As such, man is fully dependent upon his creator. This will remain the same tomorrow and the next day forever. Furthermore, the Bible teaches us that every son and daughter of Adam and Eve, they're sinners. There's been a dispute about the moral makeup of man for quite some time. Some say that man is basically good and the environment influences us to do bad things. Others say that man is basically bad. We do bad things because of what is inside of us. The Bible agrees that man is basically bad or sinful, and man's sinful nature remains throughout time. Therefore, tomorrow will bring a day in which sinners will interact with sinners. Neither the government nor the school classroom will ever change the moral structure of man. As long as the sinful world remains, we will never see a change in the moral nature of man. We know for sure what tomorrow will bring in terms of the nature of man. Man will remain a sinful creature, totally dependent upon God, and fully responsible to his creator. Sinful man's moral duty, or God's universal law, remains the same throughout time. True, there are specific, particular duties that God has placed upon some people that have changed. Certainly, parts of the Mosaic law have not remained binding throughout time. For example, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross has put an end to the Mosaic sacrificial system. However, from the time of Adam and Eve, certain moral laws or duties remain the same for everyone until the end of time. Adam did not need to ask, nor do we need to ask if tomorrow we will need to obey God's law. All of God's creatures need to obey God's law from a loving heart throughout all time. The Bible plainly teaches that the plan of salvation will remain the same throughout time. People are saved from their sins by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We know for sure what tomorrow will bring in terms of what someone must do in order to be saved. The forgiveness of sins comes by means of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation yesterday, today, and tomorrow requires a saving knowledge of the person and work of Jesus Christ, which comes from hearing, believing the Word of God. We can rest fully assured that tomorrow will not bring a new way of salvation. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. There is one gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and tomorrow will not bring a new gospel. Number two, there are some things God keeps secret about tomorrow. Why is that? The things we need to know about tomorrow in order to live a life pleasing to God, have been revealed to us. The Bible gives us the essentials or the must-have information about the future for godly living. Yes, there are some things that have not been revealed to us. We know this. consider Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29, which reads, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Our question is, why are there these secret things pertaining to the future? Deuteronomy 29:29 informs us that the secret things belong to God and not to us. But why is it that the secret things belong only to God? Why is that? I cannot find a direct answer to this in the Bible. However, one important lesson from Deuteronomy 29:29 is that God reveals to us what we need to know to obey Him. There are no secrets, none whatsoever, that God holds us responsible to know so that we can obey Him as He has directed us. We have the information that we need. There are a number of things that could be the reason for the secret things of God. There are a number of things. I'll list a few for you. It could be that the secret things of God are simply none of our business. They're none of our business. In other words, God reveals information or allows us to discover information on the basis of what is our business in this world. The things that are my business are your business are the things we need to know in order to honor and serve the Lord in the situation that we find ourselves in this life, in the calling, particular calling that we have. This is like the American military, which often dispenses information on a need-to-know basis. Throughout the history of the Christian church, people have wanted to know the exact time and circumstances of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This information has been kept secret by God. Why? Well, it could be that it's simply not our business. In other words, it's not something that I need to know or you need to know to be faithful in serving the Lord in the calling that has been placed upon us. Or it could be that the secret things of God are those things that are not good for us to know. In other words, the secret things are things that we cannot handle or deal with properly or correctly. The secret things are those things that are better for us not to know because they would be a stumbling block for us in serving the Lord. For example, and I'm speaking for myself, and maybe this applies to you, if God were to reveal to me the precise time and circumstances of my death or my wife's death, I'm sure this would be trouble for me. In fact, this would trouble me so much that I probably would have great difficulty doing the things that I should be doing. This information would produce stress, anxiety, and lack of ability to focus on the work that God has given me now. So, I know that one day I will be called home. What that day is, what the circumstances will be, I don't know. And it could be that it's good for me not to know. It could be that the secret things of God are secret in order to help us as people more fully trust in Him and not ourselves. The unknown normally makes people uncomfortable and even in some cases terrified. Therefore, it could be that the unknown future leads God's people more and more to rely upon Him for what will happen to them tomorrow and the day after that. The point here is that God's secrets are like a means of grace to His people. We are to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our own understanding of the various things that might happen to us in the future that we don't know. God knows what our future will be because He has planned it and He brings it to pass. He is the one that makes it happen. That is enough for us to know. What we need to do is to trust in God's promise that He will never leave us or forsake us. We need to believe that all things work together for good for those that are the called according to His purpose. And so all unknown future events will work out for God's glory and for our own good. We need to trust the Lord on these things. Now, if anyone tells you that fully trusting in the Lord for our future is easy, it's no big deal at all, I don't think they're telling you the truth. It is not normal, natural, or easy for the sinful heart to do this. Complete trust in God for the future is a goal that all Christians have. However, it is not normal, natural, and/or easy for us to do this. It takes God's work of sanctification in us to more and more trust in Him for our future. Or it could be that some of the secret things of God are secret because we human beings cannot understand them. As finite, we are limited. As temporal, we exist in time, and we have all of those difficulties that come with living in time, and we are changeable creatures. We do not have the conceptual framework from which to comprehend certain things. Historically, Christians have correctly maintained that God is beyond the creature's full comprehension. Our understanding of God and the ways of God are only partial and sometimes mixed with distortion. We only can and do correctly understand God and His ways in a limited, imperfect sense. So we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways." Therefore, God keeps some things secret because there would be no point in giving to us what we cannot understand. There will always be an element of mystery in the Christian faith, and this includes the secret things of God. So, which one of these reasons is the reason for the secret things of God? Which one? I do not know. It could be some of these reasons or all of these reasons. I think a biblical defense can be made for each reason. However, I admit that it could be none of these reasons. It could be that there is some other reason that I am not aware of. But this I know for sure. This I know for sure. God has a good reason for keeping some things secret about the future. And God has no obligation or duty to reveal to us what that reason is. So how do I know this? Well, I think because of the holiness of God, primarily because of the holiness of God. God's holiness accounts for the things He has kept as secrets from us. God has determined that it is right to withhold certain information from us about the future. Because God is holy, He always does what is right. Therefore, He keeps secret certain things from us, His creatures, which is the right thing for Him to do. Number three, how then are we to live, not knowing everything a day will bring? Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow." Do not boast about tomorrow. That is how we are to live, not knowing everything a day will bring. Don't brag to others about the great things that you will do tomorrow. It is because you do not know what a day will bring that we are not to boast about tomorrow. Please hear this. Boasting about tomorrow involves the false idea that we control the future. The truth is, God controls the future. As fully dependent creatures, we can do nothing apart from our Creator. In God we live, move, and have our very being. You see, when someone boasts about the things that they will do tomorrow, they are claiming that they have the power and the wisdom in and of themselves to bring these things about, to make them happen. Now, it is true that people do have a measure of power and wisdom that does often have varying degrees of influence upon the future, but what is the source of this human power and wisdom? The Bible plainly teaches that it is God. In fact, it is God that gives a measure of power and wisdom to us to influence the future. However, this human influence is always, I repeat, it is always within God's holy and wise plan for this world, or maybe a better way to put it, it is as a result of God's wise and holy plan for this world. After all, it is God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God rules the past, present, and future. Behind everything we do is the all-powerful, most wise, and absolutely holy God. When it comes to what happens in the past, the present, and the future, the creature really has nothing whatsoever to boast about. Nebuchadnezzar recognized this and said about God, "For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" Daniel 4, 34 and 35. So, does the lesson, "Do not boast about tomorrow," imply that we should not plan for tomorrow? Does Proverbs 27:1 forbid us from preparing for the future? Absolutely not. We find in the Proverbs and elsewhere in the Bible that God requires us to plan, prepare for the future. Bible-based planning, preparation is required. It is not optional. Consider some of what the Proverbs say about planning, preparing. For example, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." In other words, you are to look at the way the ant works, and you are to prepare, you are to plan to do that yourself in the future. Proverbs 10:5, "He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." Again, the idea is you are to prepare, you are to plan to do the work that needs to be done at the time that it needs to be done. Proverbs 21:5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." The general principle here that success in life or prosperity in life is a result of planning. And I would add good planning, wise planning, biblical planning. Proverbs 24:27, "Prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourselves in the field, and afterwards build your house." Instruction on how to be successful and have plenty in life. The Proverbs separate good planning from bad planning. Good planning is based on wisdom and often comes from the advice of wise people. Also, good planning has a godly goal. Normally, planning involves laying out the steps needed to accomplish something that honors God. Good planning has the goal of getting something done that is pleasing to God, that fulfills the work or the calling that God has given us to do. We also see in Proverbs that good planning must always be subject to the will of God. Consider Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. On the other hand, the Proverbs tell us bad planning is foolish planning and involves deceit. Proverbs 12:5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels or the plans of the wicked are deceitful. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who plan evil or devise evil. But counselors of peace have joy. You may ask, how can I plan, prepare for the future when you do not know what a day will bring? Well, first of all, please remember the overall biblical context in which the statement, you do not know what a day will bring, occurs. The context includes the many things we know for sure about the future. Therefore, biblical planning, preparation takes place within the context of the many, many things we know for sure about the future from God's holy word. God does not require us to plan or prepare for a completely unknown future. Who could do that? Planning, preparing for a completely unknown future seems impossible. The key element in biblical planning, preparation for the things unknown about tomorrow, is given to us in James chapter 4 at verse 15. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. No human being knows all of what will happen tomorrow, in which case our planning for tomorrow must always be conditional planning. Biblical planning is conditional planning. Planning qualified by if the Lord wills. Our planning must include the real possibility that God may bring something tomorrow into our lives that we did not anticipate. In which case, those plans that we have made will need to be modified or maybe even completely abandoned. The fact that God may bring unexpected things into our lives does not in any way show us that we should not plan or prepare for the future. Let me repeat that. I think it's plain from the Bible. The fact that God may bring unexpected things into our lives does not in any way show us that we should not plan, prepare for the future. In March 2020, my wife and I planned to travel to Scotland, England, and France. And wanted to do that for a lot of years. I retired, and we were looking forward to it. Less than 3 days before we were to board the aircraft, taking us to Heathrow Airport, the United States closed its borders. Vacation over before it even started. This year, 15 days before Sarah and I were scheduled to travel to the Greek islands, a trip we had in the planning for way over 2 years, I tested positive for coronavirus, which prevented the trip. Often God stops our plans, and we sometimes have no explanation other than this is the will of God. However, just because God stops our plans does not mean that we should give up planning. We still must make biblical plans, preparations for the future with the qualification, if the Lord wills. In humility, in humility, recognizing who we are, finite, dependent creatures, we must plan to serve the Lord each day with the tasks we anticipate God will give us to do. The Christian life is not the life of random, spontaneous action. It is the life of Bible-based planning, and this even includes vacations. Christians that refuse to plan for the future, I believe, are making a big mistake. Granted, planning is not always easy, but it makes for a much, much better life serving God. As we plan our days, we must consider that there are things we need to do today and not tomorrow. Biblical planning requires us to separate those things that need to be done today from those that can wait. Not everything needs to be done today. To the best of our ability, we need to determine what are the things we need to do now and the things that we can put off for another day. The things that we can put off for the future are normally those things that do not have a strict time limit or they have a very long time limit. However, the Bible puts a very short time limit on certain things. For example, in Ephesians 4:26, we read that we are not to let the sun go down on our wrath. We are not to let the sun go down on our wrath. This means that we are to deal with our anger daily. Anger is not always a sin. However, to allow that anger to fester within us, to allow that anger to upset us to the point where we can't do the work that God has given us to do, that, I believe, is anger that is sinful. Another example has to do with repentance. The Bible is full of calls to repentance. When should we repent? By God's grace, the minute we recognize our sin. Today is the day of repentance. Since we do not know what tomorrow may bring, we must repent today. But why? Well, because we may not wake up alive in this world tomorrow to repent. In closing, I will give a brief summary of what we have seen this evening, what I believe is helpful with regard to Proverbs 27:1. The first line of this proverb gives the instruction, do not boast about tomorrow. The second line gives the reason for this instruction. You do not know what a day will bring. Boasting about the future assumes we have control of the future, but only God controls the future. There are many important things God has told us about the future, which is enough for us to faithfully serve Him. God requires us to plan for the future, but all planning must be subject to God's secret will. Planning for the future requires humility and recognition of our complete dependence upon God for controlling the future. And we're to be very careful about putting off for tomorrow what should be done today. There may be no tomorrow for us to do it. Amen.